That is a true song.
Yes, it is.
The soul will never die. It's going to live someplace forever. Either we're going to, when the Lord returns back, go to heaven, or if we haven't done those things that are commanded by the Lord, we'll find ourselves facing that second death away from the Lord. Amen? The Bible reads, let me say good morning to everyone that's come this morning to worship the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible reads in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayer. And verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so we find from those scriptures, there are five acts of worship when we worship the Lord. And I hope this morning, as I'll say in my lesson this morning, that someone this morning has a desire to be added to the church in order that they can be saved from their past sins. Amen?
Amen.
Worship is one form that God has commanded that allows the Christian to show their appreciation of the benefits that we have received. I like to start with that text because it hopefully will put us in mind that we are here to worship God. We are here because we are thankful for the benefits that God has given us in our lives. On this morning, I want to speak from the subject you find in the text, a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Every Christian, whether male, female, boy or girl, need to possess the mindset that we are in the spiritual armed forces of Jesus Christ. Yeah. So I'm put three questions out there we want to answer from the text this morning. Those are note takers, and those that hold information in the mind. Some of us are able to do that. Amen? I have to write it down. Question number one, we want to answer. What should be the mindset of the Christian according to the text? Number two, who and what are the three spiritual enemies of the Christian? Note I said spiritual enemies of the Christian. And number three, if you're here this morning, it's my responsibility to share with you, how does one become a soldier of Jesus Christ? Go on record. No one that is not a soldier of the Lord will go to heaven. No one. Yeah. If you plan on going to heaven, you have to become a soldier of Jesus Christ. And I share to close my message what God has specifically stated for one to become a soldier. But right now, we want to talk to the Christian about that subject of being a soldier of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is writing to his young Church of Christ preacher. Yeah. And in what we call 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, again, I like to just remind us, when Paul wrote this letter, It was not written with book, chapter, and verses. Yeah, man has added book, chapter, and verse, so I can say 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number. I can say that. Yeah, so we'll know where we are. But when Paul wrote this letter, this was a continual letter to his young preacher, Timothy. And he said, we read in verse number 1, he said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, the Christian needs strength and favor from the Lord. Yeah, we're going to make it. We need to have, we need to be strong and also have favor from the Lord. I'm going to have you work your Bibles this morning. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Yeah, you brought your Bible, won't you use your Bibles? Yeah. So Paul said to Timothy that you need to be strong. And in Philippians, let me get there also myself. So I'm reading from the Bible. Paul, when he wrote to the church in Philippi, he said to them in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, the word strengthened in the text means what the Lord can do is strengthen your purpose.
That's it.
Yeah, that's what the Lord strengthens. The Lord strengthens our purpose through his word. Yeah, when I go in there and I read the word of God, it strengthens my purpose. Because sometimes, as a Christian, we can lose our purpose. Yeah, when you lose your purpose, sometimes you lose your reason. Some people even lose their reason for living because they don't have no purpose. Paul said to Timothy, I want you to be strong. Have strength in your purpose and in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Yeah, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you don't have no spiritual blessings. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Ephesians, turn your Bible. Let me show that. I don't like to say things and not prove it in the, show it rather, in the Word of God. Paul, when he wrote to Ephesus, he said in chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1 and 3, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in whom? Yeah. So in order to have spiritual blessings, I have to be in Christ. Now, God will give everybody physical blessings. Yeah, but to get spiritual blessings, I have to be in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Then Paul said, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So Paul said to Timothy, the things you heard of me, and I said to the congregation, my responsibility as the spiritual leader is to be an example for the church.
Amen.
That's my responsibility. And when I fail doing that, you have a responsibility to come to me, Brother Stroud. Yeah. You did this, you that. And my responsibility is not to get swole. My responsibility is to say, thank you, my brother. Thank you, my sister. Bring it to my attention. I apologize. Do you accept my apology? Yeah, but Paul said, the things you've heard of me among many witnesses, he said, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So now, the word commit means to give someone the responsibility of doing something. And then faithful is to be able to trust, to be trusted to do what is needed. So Paul said that those individuals, the things you've heard of me, he said, give it to those individuals that are faithful men and women. Let me say this here. According to this text, faithful men and women will teach others also. Yeah, we got to teach people. According to the text, Paul said committed to faithful. Now, you don't have to necessarily, I don't have to only teach somebody the Bible. I can teach them how to live as a Christian. Yeah, you can, but you ought to be teaching somebody. Yeah, that's what the text said. If I'm a faithful Christian, I will grow to teach others. I may not be there yet. I have to grow, Brother Stroud, and we want to encourage you through the Word of God to grow that we can be faithful teachers. Amen? And so, there are four keys given in the text to being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I know we have many. We respected and honored those that were veterans. But I want to share, not only are you were a veteran in your secular work, but you need to be a soldier in your spiritual work.
Amen.
Yeah, four keys. The first one Paul gives in verse number 2. He says that thou be faithful men. So the first mindset of a soldier in the Lord is loyalty.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. I'm loyal to the Lord in allegiance. I'm a loyal in my constant support of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those that were in the military, you had to be faithful. You had to have loyalty.
Right.
Yeah. And let me say this to some of us. The Lord does not have a secret service in the Lord. What do you mean, Brother Stroud? Some of us think we serve in the Lord secretly. Yeah. But if I'm a faithful soldier, I'm here every Sunday if I'm healthy. And you don't have to let nobody know. The Lord knows whether you're able to be here.
Amen.
Yeah, the Lord knows. If I'm able to go to work on Monday, and I'm able to go to the grocery store when I want to, I'm able to assemble with the saints. Let me say that.
Amen.
I don't want to raise up off of that. Because some of us will stay home from worship, and we'll go to the grocery store, we'll go to work the next day, but I can't assemble with the saints. Why can't you?
There you go.
A rule has to measure both ways is what I'm saying.
That's right.
And those that are hindered by the Lord know you hindered, and that's why we have our conference call for those that are in our live stream and Facebook for those that are sick and shut in.
That's right.
Yeah. We want you to hear the Word of God too, but if I'm able,
there you go.
There is no secret service. The president may have a secret service. Jesus don't have any.
None. That's right.
So I have to be loyal. Yeah. Am I faithful? Ask yourself that. Am I faithful? Am I here every Sunday? Am I here? If I'm able, am I here? Yeah. Secondly, Paul said, thou therefore endure hardness as, here's my title, a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Yeah, now, a soldier, we know when we was in that was enlisted person, that's an individual who has successfully gone through the process of becoming a service member and has taken an oath of military service. Those in the military, you took an oath to serve. What's an oath? A statement telling someone you're going to do something. When you become a soldier for the Lord, you should have taken an oath that I'm going to serve the Lord. And Paul said, in doing that, I have to understand, number two, I have to endure hardness.
Right.
What is that, Brother Stroud? Enduring hardness is the ability to deal with pain and or suffering without becoming easily discouraged. And it may be for a long time.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's what Paul was telling him. Understand this here. As a soldier, prepare yourself for conflict day or night. Being a soldier means going to war and fighting. Some Christians don't want to, they want to be in God's army, however, we don't want to fight.
There you go.
Being a Christian means you have to fight.
Right.
I don't like fighting, I don't like conflict. Well, you're a soldier. Yeah. You got to fight. You got to know who to fight.
That's it.
And that's my job to tell you who you're supposed to be fighting. Sometimes we're fighting each other. Yeah, you fight, that's what they call friendly fire. Sometimes we shoot each other. And sometimes even in the Lord's church, some of our members, we shoot at each other. Yeah, let me say this. Sometimes some of us don't want to do something because somebody else involved in something. That's not no mindset of a true soldier. You serve the Lord. You don't serve no member.
Yeah.
Well, I would do this here, but your mindset, that's what I'm talking about, is not proper. Yeah, your mindset, not proper. Let me tell you when we go through stuff. That word also, hardness, means hardship. Hardship is designed to develop character and strengthen faith of the Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you go through stuff, it should develop your character. So the next time you go through it, guess what? The Lord brought me through this already. I can do this. We can do this. I'm a soldier. But Paul was letting Timothy know, as a soldier, you're going to go through stuff. And sometimes, as a soldier, we get wounded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we get wounded. Yeah, we get wounded. But you got to go in and get bandaged up and get back out there on the... Why? Because you're a soldier. Amen? We're a soldier. And Paul told us what we fight with as a soldier. 2 Corinthians 10:4, Paul said, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds the devil may have." Yeah, Paul said that we have weapons. Turn your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6. Turn your Bible. Let you see what God gave you to fight with.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse number 17. Remember, you're a soldier now. You got to be loyal. And you got to go through some, be able to deal with stuff. Yeah. But in Ephesians chapter 6, and the verse is number 17, Paul in his letter to the Ephesians said, "And take the helmet of salvation," and watch this here, "and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of" who?
God.
Yeah. The only spiritual instrument that the Lord has given us to fight our enemies with is the word of God. That's why it's important as a Christian, I need to study the word of God every day.
Every day.
Yeah. Paul said, Luke wrote in Acts, they were more noble because they searched the scripture daily and they studied the word of God every day. Yeah, that should not be a day that you don't study the word of God. The Lord give everybody 24 hours. I need to, don't find time. Time ain't missing. I see it. You need to make time to study the word of God.
Amen.
Yeah. And I'm saying this to all of us, including, I'm talking to myself too. Luke wrote in Acts 17:11. "These were more noble," talking about the Bereans, "than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." There ought not be a day where you don't study the word of God. I don't care what you got going on. You ain't that busy. I ain't that busy. And I try to encourage us, start your day. When you doze the coffee drink, when you put on your coffee, pick up your Bible. And while your coffee is brewing, study the word of God.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what you really need for the day. Yeah. Yeah. Paul said that. And then he said, he gives us in the next verse, the third and fourth mindset. He said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. So the third thing we find, the third mindset that Paul gave Timothy, we do not entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. The word entangleth in the text means unable to stay focused or pay attention to the work of being a soldier. Sometimes, some of us, we get involved in all kind of stuff and we just lose sight. Yeah, I've called people before and trying to encourage. This is Brother Stroud. I was just calling to inquire. We haven't seen you, and I was calling to encourage. Yeah, Brother Stroud, I know, but man, it's been rough. And things, you know, I lost this and I lost that and I'm going through this and so on and so forth. I said, I understand that, you know, yeah. But you still want to have the Lord while you're going through stuff, right?
There you go. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. So in going through it with the Lord, you still have to show appreciation to the Lord. You can't do that staying away from worship service. You can't do it. Some people say, well, I when I get my life right, you can't get it right without the Lord.
Right.
You need the Lord to get it right.
Amen.
You need to hear the word of God in order to get your life right.
Amen.
So you don't get tangled. Sometimes we can become distracted by the affairs are the pursuits of this life. Let me just say this to our young people. Sometimes, you know, our young people, they go to college and they go to get an education.
Yeah.
And sometimes as parents and sometimes now grandparents, we got to make sure when you take them up to that college. We had a young person, that obeyed the Lord here, and he went off to college, and he texted me back. Best of all, I'm looking for a word service. So I put up, hey, you got a Church of Christ 6 miles from that campus. He said, thank you, Brother Stroud. Why? Because he's a babe in Christ. So when you take them out to these campuses, make sure you find where the Church of Christ is. Don't worry about the dormitory. They ain't moving. Dormitory going to be there. Find out where my child can worship. Because some of us, we've lost our children and grandchildren during this time period. And they've made themselves successful sexually, but spiritually, they're bankrupt. Yeah. Paul said, don't get entangled with the pursuits. And I had to tell myself sometime, because let me say this about me. Acts chapter 18. Let me say this about Brother Stroud so you all know. Acts 18, verse number 1. I share this about Brother Stroud because I can get entangled, amen, in the affairs of this life. Well, Paul says something that I model after. Luke wrote in Acts 18, verse 1, he said, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came unto them. And Paul said, the Bible reads for us, verse number 3, and because he was of the same craft, that means trade, he abode with them and wrought, that means worked, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Now I want to say to the church, Brother Stroud has a job. Paul had a job. I have a job. However, that won't hinder me or affect me serving this congregation.
There you go.
Yeah, as I said before, and I said now, anyone, I've done this, me and my wife have done this, anyone that needs a visit from Brother Stroud, if I don't know about it, let me know. We will visit you.
Yeah.
Amen. And several of you, you receive encouragement from me.
Yeah.
My working don't hinder me from serving the Lord. Yeah, I can't get caught up. Well, I'm working it. No, you don't work all day.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, so I want the church to know that.
There you go.
Yeah, that I can't get caught up in the affairs and pursuits of this life.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I'm a soldier of the Lord. So that's number three. So the mindset is being loyal. Number two. Enduring hardship, number three, not allowing yourself to be entangled in the affairs of this life. And number four, Paul said that he may please him. Your fourth mindset is to please the Lord.
That's right.
Yeah, sometimes we're more concerned about pleasing ourselves. No, but Paul said, soldiers, those that are in the military, you know you had to please your superior, your captain, your sergeant. You had to please them. Why? Because you're a soldier.
Yeah.
And we are soldiers for the Lord. So how do I please the Lord? Paul told us that Peter said that. How do we please the Lord? It began again now. I'm talking about your mindset. Peter said when he wrote his letter, he said, be sober and be vigilant. That's the mindset that I need to please the Lord. What does sober mean? Sober means a calmness of mind. You have to have mental self-control. You got to be able to control yourself to be a Christian. You can't let somebody say something to you and you fly off the handle. Excuse my French, you can't even speak English good. Yeah. Now, you don't excuse. No. I got to learn self-control.
Right.
Even when people provoke me necessarily.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to learn as a Christian, sometimes I got to aisle myself down. Sometimes we come too aisled up. And as soon as somebody say something to you, as soon as your husband or your wife say something to you, you fly off the handle.
There you go.
Aisle yourself down. So when Sister Stroud, go take out the garbage. Let me go take out this garbage so I can keep myself peace. Yeah. That's how you do that. Yeah. Go in there and cook me something to eat. Just go in there and cook him something to eat. If his attitude bad, that's on him and the Lord. Look at you all. So, again, it begins with my mindset. Amen? Secondly, he says to be vigilant. Vigilant means spiritual alertness, the ability to think clearly and notice things. You got to be watching as a Christian. You can't just go nowhere and not be looking. Yeah. You got active shooters. You got all kinds of stuff out there. When you out there, you got to be spiritually alert. Yeah. That's how I please the Lord when I'm alert. So now, can Christ count on you and me for faithful service in this congregation? Yeah, we serve the Lord through the church. Yeah, so I want to be active in one of the ministries that I'm serving the Lord. Amen. That doesn't mean I can't do things on the side, but I also want to serve, and I want to serve where I'm participating with other Christians, where we can encourage one another. Amen? So, from that text, we're going to stay with that. Answering question number two, there are three spiritual enemies that the Christian are in spiritual warfare against. Peter identified the first one. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your opposition, your opponent, the one that wants you to go to hell, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may what? Yeah. The devil. Now, and understand this here about a lion. And I think Peter used that metaphor from the Holy Spirit gave him. He was inspired. Understand this. Oftentimes with lions, when lions see a catch that they want, a prey, they'll roar. And if you're not careful, you will freeze. Yeah. I preached before, as a Christian, you can't be scared and can't be timid. Yeah. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Yeah, but a lion roars to scare the game. And when that deer freezes up, on top of him. And the Lord tells us, Peter said, he walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Amen? Mm-hmm. So our first enemy is the devil. Our second enemy, John said, love not the world, mm-hmm. neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Yeah. And as a Christian sometimes, turn your Bible, 2 Timothy, I want you to see this. Yeah, because sometimes you can love the world so much, you know, we've lost members to the world. Yeah. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10, Paul identifies someone. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10, Paul said, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. In other words, Paul was letting Timothy know that Demas loved, he done left me, man. Sometimes in the Lord's church, we leave the Lord. Family members will leave the Lord because of the world. Yeah. And I'm warning us, the things that are in the world. Yeah. I don't know if you know this, but a car ain't nothing but a thing. Mm-hmm. A house ain't nothing but a thing. Yeah. That job ain't nothing but a thing. Don't get caught up in those. Yeah. John said, because if you love, notice he said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So secondly, our second enemy is the world. Yeah. We've lost Christians to the world. Paul lost demons to the world. And thirdly, our third, now these are spiritual enemies. The devil, the world, and then Paul said, you can be your worst enemy. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Yeah, sometime, turn your Bible. Let me help this out. I want you to see what I'm talking about, what the flesh means. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus did this. Jesus said this. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Wants to use our Bibles. Bring your Bible every Sunday. Amen? Amen? Yeah. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, what do you mean by the flesh? The flesh is those desires that we have in us that's not consistent with God's will. All of us have them. Yeah. Note what Jesus said in Luke 8:14. He talking about the word of God when it fell. And some of us, sometimes the word of God can fall like this. And that which fell among thorns are they, he talking about people, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring forth or bring no fruit to perfection. Yeah, so sometimes that goes back to that pursuit that Paul was telling Timothy about. Sometimes we got too many cares. Yeah, sometimes we care for too many folk, or we care about too many folk, that we are allowing ourselves to be distracted from serving God. You a soldier. Yeah, Jesus said the word choke means that when Luke was a physician, so he used medical terms. When you choke, you can't breathe. You can't breathe because you got too many cares. You got too many pleasures that you're trying to get. Yeah, you chasing a dollar. Nothing wrong with making money. Nothing wrong with enjoying money. 1 Timothy 6:17, the Lord said enjoy. You make money, more power to you. But just don't put your money before the Lord.
There you go. That's it.
Yeah. Let me say this while I'm walking across this territory. Yeah. Some of us have jobs that require us to work on Sunday. Yeah. And I'm saying to all of us, if it's required of you to work on a Sunday in your regular schedule, but don't you take overtime to work on a Sunday and not worship God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me say that too. Well, you know, I got to work on Sunday. Were you scheduled? No. Well, you know, sometimes I got to get overtime while it's hot. Now, you don't end up being hot. Yeah, let me say this. Because sometimes I know Christian, I got to do something. And I'm just saying to us, that don't let your flesh, don't let your pursuits, your cares, your riches, your pleasures in this life cost you that you can't be beneficial to the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah, let me look at these other two points. I'm going to close this message. Paul gave two other examples to Timothy in the text, a couple other scriptures. A lesson be yours. Secondly, Paul moved from being a soldier. He then moved to talking about an athlete, a mindset of an athlete. Now, you know, as a soldier, got to be loyal. You got to do stuff. You can't get caught up in the world, and you got to please the Lord. That's the soldier mindset. But now, you also, as a Christian, you got to be an athlete. He said in the text, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The word strive in the text is talking about to engage in a contest or being an athlete. So what Paul was saying to Timothy is that you got to have the mindset of an athlete, man. And you can't get the crown unless you do it lawfully. In other words, the Christian is required to compete in the games of life according to the rules given by God. That's the word of God. That's the lawfully. Yeah. No athlete, hear me good, no athlete is rewarded a crown that does not finish the race. You can't quit being a Christian and go to heaven.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to give up. No, you can't. If you are a Christian, Paul told Timothy, I don't care what you go through, don't quit. Athletes, don't quit. No, I don't care. You pull a muscle, you just keep running. Yeah. I have to slow down. Yeah. But Paul was telling him, secondly, you can't get a crown unless you strive lawfully. Amen? And then he went to a farmer. Thirdly, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit. The word husbandman means a farmer. Paul was saying it is the Christian. Notice now, when a farmer plants, he got to wait on the fruit. So Paul was telling Timothy also, it is the Christian that is patient like a farmer that works the field who shares in the fruit. Yeah. So as a Christian, I got to also be patient. Sometimes the Lord is not there when we want to be. God has never been late. God is always on. Sometimes we lose patience. And we want to try to do it ourselves. Sometimes just wait on the Lord. Isaiah said, just wait on the Lord. Be patient. Farmer can't make no crop. He got to plant the seed and ask God to water it, and then it bring forth fruit. Amen? So as I close, verse 7. Paul told Timothy, after he told him the three examples of a soldier, of an athlete, of a farmer, he said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Paul told Timothy, consider or think about the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer, from whom the Christian is to equip themselves in an effort to win the spiritual war concerning our souls. Yeah, we're in a spiritual war. Only thing I really own is my soul. Yeah, and the devil is fighting for my soul. Yeah. Paul told Timothy, we all need the understanding that the Lord gives in all things. That's why we need to study the Word of God.
That's
why it's my responsibility when I stand before the congregation to make sure, and I say this, and I want to keep repeating it so you understand. When I stand before you and preach the Word of God, I'm going to make it logical.
There you go.
I'm going to make it simple.
There you go.
And I'll try to make sure you understand it.
Amen.
We can't do what we don't understand. In order to serve God, Brother Stroud, help me to understand what the Lord is talking about.
Amen.
Now it's on us to go out and apply. Yeah.
Right.
And I'm going to do my job to the best of my ability. That I make it simple, I make it logical, and that you understand it. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
So my third part, and I'm closing. If you're not a Christian, how do you become a soldier? You need to know, and I like to use Timothy's letter, Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, for there's one God and one mediator between God and man, and that man is Jesus Christ. You need to know that God sent Jesus Christ, the Father sent Christ the Son.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Son did, he gave himself a ransom for all. To be testified in due time. What do you mean he gave himself as a ransom? What does that mean? The word ransom means something paid for the release of someone from captivity. We were all held captive by our sins.
Amen.
All of us. What Christ did, he gave up his life in an atonement for our sins. And it holds good for those that are obedient to the conditions stated in the Bible. What a condition, Brother Starr. How do I become a soldier? How do I become a Christian? Well, first you must do it, and these are all what Jesus said. Luke 11, 28. Jesus said, but he said, ye rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Okay? Hear the word of God. Second, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he sent. So you got to believe that God the Father sent the Son. Got that. What else I must do? Three other things. Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Right now, if you haven't obeyed the Lord, you are living in the world. There's only two places you can live, either in the world or in the church.
Mm.
Right now, you're living in the world. You, repentance means I turn from the world and I turn toward Christ.
Amen.
That's where repentance begins. Okay? I'm turning to the Lord, Brother Stroud. What else I need to do? Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before him, for men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. You got to come up here and make the confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus said, if you make that confession, I'll make that confession to God about you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
And then final step to becoming a Christian, Jesus said, Mark 16, 15, 16, he said unto them, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. The gospel has three facts. Jesus Christ died for our sin. He was buried. He rose again the third day. Those are the gospel, the facts of the gospel. And then Jesus said, he that believeth it and is baptized shall be saved from their sin.
That's right.
So if you're here this morning and you want to be a Christian, you want to be saved from your sin, You got to obey the Lord and be water baptized. You got to come up here, make your statement, and say, I want to be a Christian. And as I said before, I'll just show it, I have it here. The Bible, we said it before, praising God, having faith with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved. You're not saved until you add to the church. Amen? What is the church? The church is a spiritual body of baptized believers called out from the world over which Christ rules as a head. And what's the church? Paul, what he wrote, he described and gave a description. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. And then when it comes to becoming what I need to become, when Paul taught Agrippa, King Agrippa, he told him, he said, believest thou the prophet? He told Agrippa, he said, I know. He said, Agrippa, I know you believe. Mm-hmm. I know you believe it. Sometimes you have people that believe it, but they won't obey it.
Won't obey it. That's it.
And so Paul told Agrippa, he said, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost. Almost.
Almost.
Thou persuaded me to be a Christian. He knew what he needed to be. If you're in the audience this morning, and you're not, I'm trying to persuade you to become a Christian. Put Christ on in baptism, and now you're a babe in Christ. Is anyone today that's subject to the invitation? We bid you to come together. We stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much for you listening here.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink.
Will you come?
Will you come?
Will you come
to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Fountain.